Okay, try doing my best, speak loud and clear. Well, 2 years ago, I had the pleasure holding a presentation at the HDI conference, was also here in Las Vegas, and I started opening the session talking about what a great place for an example of change this place here is. Now, 2 years later, I have to also make the observation is an even greater place for change, because it seems that within 2 years, they knocked the whole place down and rebuilt it twice as big. So this is session 403, implementing an IT service catalog. My name is Christoph Recknagel. I'm with the Boston Consulting Group. I'm pleased to see you all here. Thanks a lot for choosing this topic. I would like, right from the get-go, to set the expectations straight. Because something that I come across again and again when people hear that I'm, or when I introduce myself as a member of the Boston Consulting Group, is everybody starts believing that all we do is strategy. And I'm actually not with the consulting arm of the firm, I'm with the internal IT organization, so I'm everything that's not strategy, okay? There are also about 12 other presentations running at the moment, in parallel, and I know it's hard to choose the right one, so I hope you picked the right one, so there's a 1 in 12 chance that you're sitting in the wrong one. Okay. This presentation is about building an IT service catalog. It is very, I hope, it will be very basic, down to earth. This is not rocket science. The intention of this presentation, of me talking with you here, over the next 50 minutes or so, is really to take away the anxiety and really make it clear and create this image in your heads that creating an IT service catalog is very simple. It's all about simplicity. There's actually the moment you introduce complexity, the project probably is going to fail. Now, first of all, I would like to see a show of hands. Who has the intention or is planning or is hoping to have a service catalog in the near term future? Okay, great, great, great. Why don't you have one already?
Didn't know we needed.
Okay. Any other? Why haven't you found the opportunity to build one already? Give me. Where to start? How to quantify all of that? Yeah, great. Any other reasons, excuses? Okay. Cost? How much does it cost? Yeah, we will touch base on that. Anything else? Who are the stakeholders getting buy-in? Yeah, very good. Management support, senior management support? Yeah, that's a problem, I see that, yeah. Okay, so we will see an example of a service catalog. And being here in the Mandalay Bay, it's all about the, right? It's about the hotel, the cafe. This is not the service catalog. You have to build your own. I will show you what we have created. You can take it as an example. And again, it's also intended as an example that it doesn't have to be rocket science. It can be fairly simple, and it has to be very simple in order to be successful. Now, I am a little bit nervous, so I try to understand a bit better who would be the audience in order kind of to calm myself down. So I figured there would be probably a total of maybe 100 people attending this session, of which a few are probably already kind of dreaming of the pool. 10 or so might be in the wrong session. They haven't figured it out yet. Another 20 might just checking Blackberries or reading the session guide or be vendors. And also, I brought a number of my own management team in here, so they certainly also don't count. So that totals up to 99, which which turns this event into a pretty informal one-on-one conversation, okay? Now, how does it look on my side? Well, my heart rate is probably around 180. And I'm not that experienced as a speaker. I mean, not a frequent speaker. So that also reminds me of the first date that I have with my wife. Actually, to be exact, it reminds me of the third date with my wife, if you know what I mean. Also, in terms of setting expectations, right, this was the last slide that you would see today. Well, in this presentation. Try really to keep it simple. And I think in an effort to keep it simple, we don't need slides. Actually, think about situations when you talk with somebody and there's a TV running in the background. You want to have the full attention of the person you're talking to. You don't want to break up with your boyfriend in a sports bar, him watching the scores in the background, right? Okay. So much about how we will do it. However, what we will do is I will try to show you the service catalog, so it will be somewhat of a software demo. Again, that's a demo of a service catalog, not the service catalog. Let me start telling you a little bit about BCG and the support organization. So we have about 6,000 internal customers, 3,500 consultants, rest support and admin staff. And my organization, the IT service group, provides internal IT service to our consultants. We have about 100 people in IT service. We have about 15 people being in a global team. We're providing support in 60 offices. And as we implemented and worked on the service catalog, we discovered that we're providing about 200 customer-facing services, not including the number of shrink wrap and even in-house, all the in-house applications. Just services like BlackBerry, password reset, Active Directory, all this kind of stuff. And of course, the number of services greatly depends on how you count. I mean, what's your criteria for defining what is a service? Is a service a product? Is a service really something that a customer can request? That's very, very much up to you. But I think one thing is clear to all of us, the number of services keeps growing and growing and growing, right? And the support workload also, as a result of that, keeps growing and growing and growing. And I think that's also one of the pain points and something that an IT service catalog tries to address to make it visible. How many services are we actually having in our organizations? And some actually don't want to know. So BCG IT also started out as a very local thing. So we had 10, 15 years ago, we had one person in each office being the IT guy, being the computer guy, very much with a local focus. There was no global organization in place. They were not very well networked. Again, they were on their own, kind of fighting the battle on the ground, trying to provide an IT service as good as possible, and they have done, and they are continue to do, a great job. As a result of that, we are a very people-driven organization, which means all we do, our excellence, really relies on the quality of our people. And I'm sure that's the case with every organization. However, we are fairly weak in terms of processes. We are not a big ITIL organization. Actually, we don't have implemented ITIL at all. We try on an ongoing basis to educate ourselves and what are the best frameworks. We try to cherry pick. So this presentation is also not an example for ITIL best practices. Now, a service catalog is mentioned in the ITIL guide, and it is certainly an important element of ITIL and certainly also a good starting point. So for us, it's also part of the journey towards having more robust processes in place and relying also on robust processes also to allow our people to really focus on the business, on the partnership with our consultants, with our admin staff, and not having so much to worry about them knowing each and everything, right? And also have somewhat of a safety net for people, bringing people in. If you have robust processes, if you can tell them and explain to them, okay, these are the services that you are going to provide, you're going to support, it's much easier to bring new people into your organization. So let's think about, what is a service catalog? And a service catalog is, very simply put, a list of all externally or internally offered services by your organization. Essentially, a service catalog is a menu, right? You walk into a McDonald's or into a Starbucks or Burger King, whatever it is, and you see the menu. You can pick and choose. Now, the service catalog then also has certain advantages, because you also know what you see on the menu is what you get and nothing else. So it also manages expectations. The service catalog describes services. It talks about the providers of these services. It talks about customer groups, escalation path. And it certainly has to include some core elements. So whatever you develop, I think there is a set of information, certain things that each and every service catalog should include. And we figured out for us, importantly, are certainly all the things that I mentioned before. In addition, it's the name of the service, availability. Okay, great, thank you. Oops. Oh, worst case scenario. Yeah, they better be numbered. Wow, now I'm screwed. Well, it's not as bad. Okay, thank you for attending the session. Okay, so the name of the service, availability. Who do I need to contact? What input is needed to provide the service? What value does the service provide to the organization? Or, to put it in other terms, how much does it cost? I mean, depending on what viewpoint you assume. Again, who's the provider? Where can I escalate to? Who's providing first level, second level, third level support? And very, very important, what we found is, who is actually owning the service? Who's responsible for the goddamn thing? And that's, I would say, of everything that we've done so far, I would say is a key element of identifying who is actually owning the service. Because from there, you, first of all, you have a point of contact for this service, and you can derive all the other information from there. But that's a very important step. Identifying the owner of the service. So let's think about, why do we need a service catalog? I mean, we've heard a few comments already before. I think one of the main elements and one of the key drivers for having a service catalog is gaining control, putting yourself and putting your organization into the driver's seat. Because as long as you don't know what you're actually doing, there is no way that you're going to manage it. Right? So it's the first step of understanding, what is it actually that I'm doing? What is it that we are responsible for? So you have to find a way to understand what is it that we're supposed to do. And that allows you to achieve and increase the efficiency on the inside. Once you are in control, once you know what are the services, once you can group them, once you can streamline them, you can gain efficiency. From the outside, it's all about
increasing effectiveness. Because if I, as a customer, are aware of what is it actually that you are doing for me, what am I allowed kind of to, or what's possible for me to pick and choose, what you can do from a business perspective to allow me to do a better job, that's all about effectiveness. So getting customers better help. In terms of enabling and empowering you, a service catalog certainly also is an important instrument if you want to have discussions with your business. If you want to ask for more people, if you want to explain and communicate how difficult it actually is to do your job, or where you feel your organization has weaknesses and needs help, you need also to explain what is it actually that you're doing. I'm sure your CEO, maybe not even your CIO, is aware of all the different things that you're doing. You know about it, and I'm sure everyone in your organization, in your IT organization, knows about the complexity, but since it's not written down anywhere, it's impossible to communicate this in an effective way. You certainly also want to manage expectations. I said earlier, when you go to a McDonald's, you know exactly what you get. And you know you won't get anything more, but you also know you won't get anything less. Well, it's actually pretty damn difficult to get anything less than the fast food you get there. Standardizing your offerings. Having the service catalog certainly enables you to look through your portfolio and understand better, okay, what do we no longer need to provide? What can we cut out? How can we combine service providers, right? How can we combine maybe support groups? How can we combine teams? Can we certainly also provide maybe bundles of services? When you think about new staff comes in or new customers are coming in, they need a certain set of services. It's not one single service. They maybe need a new computer, they need a bag, they need the password, an account, email setup. Once you understand what are all these combinations of services, and also what combinations, what bundles apply to what customer groups, you can offer a much, much better service. I mean, we all know if our users would use and make good use of all the things that are already available to them, they would be much, much more effective in their job. But it's all about knowing what can this damn thing actually do, right? Speaking of the computer. Okay, I said earlier, it's very much about simplicity. You have to start small. That's at least our experience. I don't want to give here the ultimate wisdom, but if you're asking kind of how we found that it was possible kind of to get started, it's really starting small. Because you don't have to boil the entire ocean at once, right? You can do it piece by piece. And we found that a three-step, three-phased process works best for us. We're not even sure if we ever make it to the last phase. We're currently what I refer to as phase zero. That's just having something in place. And phase zero for us defines a very simple list of services. It defines just getting the group and the list of customer-facing services together. Because there are also many services that your IT organization provides within IT. So IT to IT, IT if you work on business to business, not necessarily business to customer, think about infrastructure groups might provide services to you that enables then ultimately you to provide service to your end customer. Sometimes you have sort of in-house experts and they serve as service providers also for your maybe first or second level staff, training them maybe. In-house training, internal training is probably also a good example for this. If you think about kind of just the starting point of a service catalog, I mean the most basic things that from your perspective would be important to include, what would it be? Give me a few shout outs. What was that?
How to log in.
Okay. In terms of, if you think about kind of what types of information you would like to see listed, so not necessarily kind of tasks or specific services, but if you think about, is it certainly the name of the service? Applications? Okay. What else? Hours of service, so availability? Okay. Anything else? Yep, okay. And is there any specific type of information that you would like to see included to allow you kind of to represent this kind of service? Is it like who?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So sort of the customer group. So who can subscribe to this service? Okay. Yep, okay. Anything else? Access channel? Okay. So the workflow? Yep. Where to go to get this kind of service? Okay.
Level of support.
Okay. Is it first level, second level, is third level available at all? Yeah. What else? Any other ideas? Sorry? Service level agreement. Okay. Yeah. There was one comment over here. Service level expectations. Okay. How to check the status? Okay, great, yeah. Okay, I think these are all very good examples, and they also show different organizations might have different requirements. So when you go shopping for a service catalog, something that's ready to use, and there are certainly ready to use applications out there, you have to understand what are the specific requirements for your organization. So when we started out, we found that piece, I would say, most challenging, kind of just to get an idea that is not too complex of what actually do we want to include? What kind of data fields, if you think about it that way, do we want to have included in the service catalog? And when you go out and, just Google for service catalog, you find a number of providers. And certainly all the large systems management organizations or service providers, they all offer something that aims at this kind of service catalog kind of service. And there are also online services available, so you don't need to install anything in-house. But those offerings, of course, they need to target and to address a very broad set of requirements. Right. They want to have as many customers as possible, and therefore they do it kind of the Microsoft way, offering kind of 200% of functionality, or kind of the 100% of functionality that is offered, you probably only need 20%. And that made us gravitate to in-house development, but only as the first step. I do not intend, whatever I show you later on, I don't intend this to stay forever. But it was for us a starting point just to understand what is it actually that we need to include? What are the data fields that we want to have in the service catalog? So the next phase two, is a list that you're able to publish. Because phase zero is just getting the service catalog, just understanding internally what is it actually that we're doing. And at a later point in time, then you can think about, okay, how do we publish this information? Because there's a very important step between phase zero and this phase one. And that's really making sure that your organization is okay with publishing all this information and also having the information readily available in the appropriate format. Because you have certainly, if you publish it and you make it accessible to your customers, you want to make sure that you speak the language of the customers. Right? You don't want to put it into IT lingo. And you also want to look at the services from a customer perspective. Right? It's in terms of how you design the offering, if you make a website available, maybe even if you make a checklist available. Right? I mean, think simple. But even when you think simple, the moment you're facing your customers, I mean, you really want to shine. Right? You want to have it in the proper shape. And that's something where we are not yet. Right? We're using this list at the moment purely internally. It's not yet published. That's our next step. It also depends then what are your customers. If you use it internally, in a way, kind of even internally, then you have customers, right? If you publish the IT service catalog and you think about purely using it, using it internally, you also have to make sure that people understand how it's going to be used. How do they make sure if they find, let's say, information that's not correct, if they are maybe listed as a service provider for a service and they don't even know about it, which actually happens quite often. You want to give them also a channel to communicate back. Now, our solution for this is we will publish our service catalog, and the first step when we're using it internally, in SharePoint. And SharePoint offers some opportunities kind of to allow people to edit the information, and then you get sort of an email request, and you can actually approve this information. But it makes it accessible, and it also allows a channel sort of back from the person who is looking into the service catalog and who is exposed to it, have to communicate back that they either want to subscribe to the service, or there's something wrong with the information that's listed in the service catalog, and they want just to correct the information. Before you publish the service catalog, you also want to make sure, as I said, that the business approves of it. And having this discussion with the business is what I find very healthy. Because once you can communicate what it is that you're doing, you can also really talk about, does all this make sense? Is it actually the right way kind of to offer all these services or this particular service to everyone? And maybe even your business leaders are shocked to see what people actually can get in your organization. Right? I mean, think about equipment. Right? Does really everybody need to have a certain piece of equipment if it's freely available? Or do you maybe even want to restrict availability of certain services to certain customers? In some cases, maybe business also might be shocked about that certain services are not readily available. But whatever you do, you want to make sure that your business owners, your executive level, really understands what you're going to do. And I think that's a really healthy and also exciting process. Because for once now also you have something that you actually can show them. You have something, if you will, during the meeting to hold on to. And you can go through the list, they can look at the list, and you can really have good in-depth discussions about how do we want to structure the service offering, and does all this make sense? Now, the ultimate solution of a service catalog is what I refer to as the Amazon service catalog. That's an interactive list that allows the service subscriber, in particular the service subscriber, so the end customer, to really interact with the service catalog. It's not just a dump list that's listed somewhere or published somewhere. It's not just a checklist, but it allows the customer to understand what service is best for him or her. It allows the customer to understand maybe who else has already subscribed to these services. So let's say our consultants are very much into data analysis. If there's a certain application that's being used for data analysis, and they would see in this service catalog that people who have subscribed to this particular application have also used this and that other tool, that's very valuable information for them. You could also, I mean, really, it's there's a lot of things you could picture that enhance your service offering without actually adding more services, just by connecting them. And having the service catalog is really a great way to enhance your offering because you can create those connections. And having the interactive catalog also allows people to subscribe to the service, really provide all the information, and that's important, provide all the information that's necessary to get you guys started, because you don't want them to go to the service catalog, maybe click on subscribe or order, and then you have to go back to them, ask them 10 different questions. You want to streamline the process, right? The moment they click on order, you want to have received all the information to provide the service as soon as possible. And certainly, you want to consider what kind of situation are your customers in, right? Are they belonging to a certain job group, cohort, business unit, whatever you can think of. Now, if you think about kind of the ultimate service catalog, how would it look like? Can you give me some examples? Have you seen some online versions or something that you would like to see implemented? So what's your vision for a service catalog? Any idea? What would be the coolest thing a service catalog could do for your customers?
I think it should be easy.
Should be easy?
The shortest amount of clicks, like everything.
Yep. Only a few clicks to subscribe to a service. Yep.
Quick,
okay, cool, yep.
Interface with my help desk system, so it creates tickets from the menu selection.
Interface with your help desk system, ticketing system, great, yep. Yeah, so understand what is actually best for the customer.
Yeah.
Okay, yep, so somewhat of an expert system. Okay, yep. Flow from one group. Okay, and group in terms of customer groups? Okay, so be cross-functional, right? Okay, not offer one specific kind of services, but, yeah. Yeah, okay, so cross boundaries. Right. Don't operate just in a silo. Okay. Anything else? Ideas? Link into a knowledge base. Yep. Very good point. Great. Yeah. Offer documentation. Maybe even training material. Might be possible that if you want to also provide links to if people, let's say, subscribe to a certain application, where do they find then information about it? Recommending books. Whatever it is. So you see there are many ways how you can really push it to the next level. But again, start small. If you start trying to aim for this ultimate solution in the first step, my guess is you will fail. Start small. Just get the list of services ready. Practical examples of service catalogs, also again, just to give you the idea of what does it mean. The first example of not having a service catalog is a department store. Right? You walk into the department store and you have to find your way. Right? And if you're looking for a particular product, you have to find the right section of the department store, and either you find the product yourself or forget about it. In the good old days, maybe the clerk at the counter was able to point you to the right shelf where you could find a product, but those days, I guess, are over. The next level would be something like maybe Lens End, or years ago, the Sears catalog, where you really have a list of all the things that are available. Right? But again, you also know if it's not in the list, it's not available. And then I already mentioned it, kind of from my perspective, the ultimate level, something like Amazon, where it's really highly interactive, where it adds values, where it even gives you reviews. Think about it. If your customers could also comment on how useful a certain service was, because maybe it's just a hype, right? Everybody wants to have a BlackBerry just because everybody else has a BlackBerry. But once they figure out that this is actually a curse, so if you start implementing the service catalog, there are also certain constraints, or there are certain moments when reality hits you. And I want to share some of those with you. As I said earlier, we're not big in ITIL processes. We don't have SLAs in place. Actually, we have one and a half SLAs in place. It has to be always available. And if it's broken, it needs to be fixed now. Who has the same SLA agreement in place? Okay, good. So that certainly makes it difficult. If you want to set expectations right, And you start publishing a list of services, right? You want to make sure that, that people understand that it doesn't mean that they can have all of this in one moment. We also have 6,000 VIP customers. Which is great. I mean, it keeps us on our toes, right? But it is very challenging. And you need, again, you need to manage expectations. Internally, also, it's very difficult to get agreement on service offerings, on standardized service offerings, because we operate on still on the local level. We have some sort of regional ownership, and also there are some services that are being owned on a global level. So you deal with whether, okay, do I have to ask locally for approval? Do I have to ask on the regional level for approval? What if people disagree on different levels? I mean, you then have to run around making sure that these conflicts are being resolved. Otherwise, it's very difficult to have anything that you can publish. Another thing that is a particular requirement for us is when people ultimately then want to subscribe and order certain services and offerings, they also have to be able to do it on behalf of somebody else. Because our users, they're a lot on the road, they're out of the office, some of them really don't have the time to worry about IT. So they ask their assistants, maybe somebody else who is a topic expert, does it on behalf of someone else. So you also have to consider, how does your business operate? How do your users operate? And you have to factor this in. You have to start simple. I can't say it often enough. Keep it simple. Now, when we started the actual implementation of the catalog, we put a project team together that was already cross-functional. It was mainly driven by IT service, but we invited a colleague from the infrastructure group, and we also invited a colleague from the applications group, because even though we were only addressing customer-facing services, and we knew it at that point already that we would only address customer-facing services, there are certain services that came already up in the comments that you gave. Some services are bridging different departments, right? And you want to make sure that in the process of putting the service catalog together, you have the buy-in of all those departments. And it's also a very powerful tool to invite the other groups. Because when they at one point start questioning, okay, why do we need a service catalog, or we better don't have one so that our customers don't figure out what they actually can get, you want to be able to point, well, Joe from your group actually attended the session, right? And he was part of it. And also Joe then can become an advocate for the service catalog in this other group. So it's kind of a political move, right? You want to have allies, because you cannot assume that everybody is supportive of implementing a service catalog. I mean, you've survived the past years without one, so why would you need one now? Once you have put the project team together, you need to define the goal. I mean, what is it that you actually want to achieve? How does the ultimate result has to look like? And you also have to make sure that this team, the core group who is then responsible for creating the service catalog, is educated. I mean, you are attending the HCI conference. The other members of the team don't know squat about what the service catalog is, what is it good for, why should we have one. So you have to make sure that you bring them on the same level of knowledge you are. Because, I mean, some point along the way, you have figured out that having a service catalog is really important, and you really want to have one. So you have to convince the others, and the best way of convincing the others, your colleagues, your peers, is by making sure that they are on the same level of knowledge. Because just because they don't buy into the concept, it doesn't mean they don't believe in it. It just, maybe they're missing the knowledge. Maybe they cannot really connect the dots to understand why is it important to have a catalog. You also, that's our very real personal experience, you need somebody to facilitate the process. If you are not knowledgeable, if you are not knee-deep into this ITIL stuff and into putting service lists together, if you're not deep into service management, and certainly also first and foremost, if you haven't put a service catalog together ever in your life, I can only highly recommend to get external help. And we got help from the Diagonal Group, not sure who attended past HDI conferences. They were very heavily involved with HDI, and they are very smart people. And they're actually that smart that they decided to go in early retirement, and the Diagonal Group no longer exists. But they split up in different subgroups. So there's now the Whittle Group, and Doug Whittle actually is here in the room. So if you have questions or need help, there's also now the Diagonal Service Group. So kind of it's another spin-off. And there are certainly also many, many other groups. So we have worked with Diagonal Group at the time, and I found it very, very helpful. Now that shouldn't be a kind of advertisement for Diagonal Group, again, they no longer exist. But it was a great experience for us because we learned something. We had somebody to facilitate the process, and Doug and Jen Streitwieser at the time, they did a wonderful job helping us, helping the team kind of to really get the act together and really understanding and figuring out what is it that we don't need to include in order to keep it simple. They also gave us a great starting point by diving into our ticketing system, figuring out what are actually all the services that are being requested, or if you will, what are the services that are being supported. Starting with the ticketing system was actually something that has been proven very valuable, because that also came already up as a comment. Then you can connect also these systems ultimately. So you need somebody, or I can only recommend that you have somebody who helps you putting all this together. Developing a clear idea of how should this service catalog look like. Put it in Excel. Have some prototype, but you have to start somewhere. And you have to start, I mean, again, it's nothing else than a simple list of things that you provide to your customers. It's nothing more. So start simple, keep simple, but just get it started, right? There are many people who are actually, who's a runner? Who's running marathons, 5Ks, anything? Okay, a few people, okay. Jeez, you have to more. Anyway, now everybody who's into running is also into running faster. There's only one way to run faster, and that is to actually run faster. You can buy as many magazines as you want, right? You can read as many magazines as you want. The only way to get it, to really achieve it, is to actually start doing it. You can do it on your flight home. Taking out your notebook, start typing down all the services, everything that you can think of that you do, and you can then grow it from there. Again, define the end product when you start the process, right? I mean, as you then maybe get an idea of what is it actually that you want to have included there, then also you can develop this vision of how is the service catalog supposed to look like. The service catalog that we developed spans across three groups, as I said, service, infrastructure, application. For us, it was also important to have a certain geographic component included. Because we have 60 offices around the world, and not every service is available in every office, it was important for us to have this element included. We wanted to make it clear, first internally, but also ultimately to the customers, that they understand, where can I get this service? We have tried it before, and we failed. There were many attempts of putting a service catalog together, and we never really got it done. We started, and kind of in retrospect, thinking back, why did it fail in the past? I think one really important element was that we were aiming kind of for the sky. And that was, at that point at least, based on our knowledge and kind of our structure and our maturity level, that was just too far. So We started with a very small approach. We also, at the time, had no, if you will, high-level management endorsement. Now that I picked up the idea, and I had the pleasure, honor, whatever you call it, being the IT service director, I also have sort of the, if you will, the power or authority to push this. I definitely have control over the funding, so I could decide, okay, yeah, actually, we need to spend some money on it. And my CIO was very supportive, and kind of he also gave me the freedom kind of to spend that money and put the group together and go doing this. Right? So you really, it also again came up already, you need to have high level support. You need to have a number of people, key people in your organization, who really also believe in that this is important. Okay, execution. Start identifying the services. Again, just take out your notebook, write it down, type it in. The next level then is within the project team, agree on this list. It's actually a very interesting exercise. Once having this discussion, it's a somewhat sobering experience. Also to understand kind of different people's viewpoints on, is this a service? Does it belong into applications? Is it infrastructure? Am I owning it? Are you owning it? Whose child is it? Agree on the actions. Once you have the services listed, you have to think about, okay, what are we actually doing that are related to these services? Think about passwords, right? Think about accounts in the wider sense. You have to create the account. You maybe have to troubleshoot the account. You maybe have to modify it. You maybe have to disable it. So there's a whole boatload of activities associated with this particular service. And this is also a very important step in terms of thinking about simplicity, reducing the number of activities associated with your services. Because if you have a list of 25 different activities that apply to maybe 200 different services, it adds up very quickly and it becomes unmanageable. So we decided to really keep it simple and focus on some key elements that are associated, if you will, kind of to the software lifecycle in our organization. And that's kind of create, modify, troubleshoot, replace, dispose, and inform. That are all the activities that you can associate with whatever service is listed in the catalog. Now you have to leave some room for interpretation here, right? If you think about modifying, that also includes a configuration of a service. But it makes it much easier. I mean, it breaks down really the complexity and it makes it manageable. Pardon? Sorry. Create, modify, troubleshoot, replace, dispose, and inform. And the presentation, even though I don't rely on it now, will be available online. So don't worry about it if you don't pick it up right now. So you have the services, you have the actions. In our case, we also have what we refer to as entities. So that are the geographic locations for a service. And then you have the different support levels. Those were the elements that we included. So level of support, first level support, second level support, third level support. Maybe you decide also including the fourth level in terms of maybe external vendor support. That depends on what works for you. And again, you have to make sure that you keep complexity in check. Really focus on keeping the list of actions, the list of services, the list of service providers really small. That's an important, that's probably the important message that I'm trying to provide you. An interesting exercise or one part of putting the service catalog together is defining the support groups. Defining the groups that are responsible for providing a certain activity or performing a certain activity that's associated and linked with the service. So who is actually responsible for the second level support of your account management. Who is doing this? And once you name the people, that's even more challenging. I've just put a sort of somewhere vague group in place. That's one step. But once you populate this group with names, that's very, very interesting. And actually, it's also, again, a very healthy exercise just to understand who is responsible for what. Who is doing what in your organization? And with that, I would like to start showing you what we have put in place. And I hope I'm not Bill Gates right now. Okay. So that's the start menu. We decided to implement it in Access. It's not a sort of client-server application. It's a very type local application. It's, again, very simple. But it does its trick for us. You can see the list of services. So here you see the name. Here we see what group does it belong to. Oops. You can see if a service is standard, non-standard, retired, or maybe banned, which is, again, very helpful. Once we communicated that ActiveSync is actually banned in our organization, there was quite a reaction. This is some information that was valuable for us, pointing out, is it a worldwide available service? Is it a customer-facing service? Is it on the image? That's our kind of core client image that we deploy. So can you assume that you already have the application on your PC when you call the help desk or when you request the service? Then we have here different call types. Those were information that we imported from our ticketing system. And we don't actively use it at the moment. We just kept it there kind of to maintain the link in case we ever want to create a connection between the ticketing system. Some very brief explanation and the ability to search. That's all. That's our service catalog. And it's a very helpful tool for us, even though it's very basic and very simple. Now, of course, in some way, you need to manage it. So you can add additional information about the service. Let me check for Adobe. So you can find out here more about the actions, the levels, the entities, and the providers of a service. So for example here, configure, modify, reset for the Adobe Acrobat application on a cert level, on a cert support level, on a worldwide basis, is provided by this group here. And this group is listed down here. And actually something that I'm very proud of, that I managed actually to get in the functionality that you can email this person and contact the member of the group. So, and that's just kind of playing around with it, more with Access functionality. But it is something that was actually very often requested by our people in the field, kind of having the ability to contact the person behind this service, contact the owner. And this information about kind of who's the owner is also listed here. In this case, it's the client architect group. And how you define ownership, that's again very much up to you and your understanding and how your organization operates. For us, it was important to have an owner who, if you were kind of looked after this application, who makes sure that we are okay in terms of licensing, who looks after it in terms of making sure they wear training material. Yeah. The call type is just, we have a three-level call type system. So we have a call type level A, so it's part of the applications group. It's part within the applications group. It's part of the other applications group. And then the last category, category C, it's Acrobat. So when you would call the help desk, they would then ask, okay, what's your problem? And you would then say, well, Acrobat is not working. And then they would kind of find the Acrobat application and file your request with this information. Just quickly, there's something that's certainly more powerful than just having the list of services, and that's really getting some reports and information out of the system. I mean, once you have put all the data in, it's really amazing what you can get out of the system. Once you have listed the services, the groups, populated the groups with names, you can also do things like find out who in your organization is actually kind of in one group, in what group and in what capacity. So we have defined certain levels of group membership. So if you're responsible for email and you are in this email group, let's find it. Let's see here, email. We have somebody here. Yep. Okay. So we know that John Lee is a member of this group. We have other categories of group membership. One is being responsible for primary strategy. Another type of membership is being responsible for licensing. So there are different group memberships that you actually can think of. Okay. And last but not least, there's a series of reports that you can get out of the system about what services are available. Again, here is the individual responsibility. Oops. That's also, again, a very healthy exercise where you can find out, okay, Vincent, he's actually, because he's in several groups, member, he's responsible for these and these services in what capacity. So you can publish this information, and you can publish certainly in different ways, online, as a paper printout, if you have discussions. And you can also make it available to the individuals so that you find out who's responsible for what. If you have more specific questions about this application, and I will also put this application, of course, without the data, online, so you can then download it and you can play around with it, if you give me your business card, because I don't want to give it to McKinsey, okay? If you have more questions, I want to release you so that you can make your way to the next session. Come here, find me. We can continue the discussion. Thank you very much for your attention.